from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Hey, fantasy football owners. Anybody can tell you what a good fantasy quarterback looks like, but it's the receivers that make or break your team. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive into the position that matters most, wide receivers. From the route trees to who plays better in man or zone, we provide the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Danny and Dusty.
All right, my rock smashes your scissors.
No, not these scissors, pal. This is a special titanium steel alloy developed by NASA for the space program. These scissors that smash and wrap to smithereens. No, this rack happens to be kryptonite.
With the latest on the Blazers, Ducks, Beavers, and the hottest topics in sports.
Hey, what's happening, Norm?
It's a dog-eat-dog world, Sammy, and I'm wearing milk-bone underwear.
Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app and 1080.
No!
The Fan.
Hour number two, Danny and Dusty, coming to you live from PDXYZ at the field office. We can literally see our studios from where we are broadcasting from today.
Yeah, it's
a nice
when we say
commute.
It's like 100 yards, it's actually 100 yards.
Yeah, yeah, and I'm coming to find out, looking at this building and how nice it is, that we are on the wrong side of the tracks.
Yeah, no, you picked up on that too, huh?
Literally railroad tracks in between. We are on the wrong side of the tracks, even though we have an upgrade in our building, too.
Yeah, no, we're snake-free.
Yeah, it's snake-free. For now.
Let's face it. When you guys are in here, you're also on the wrong side of the tracks.
Hey, take it
wow.
easy. Look at you. Just taking your shots from your ivory tower over there, right across the street.
Your temperature-controlled room.
But that was... I can't argue anything that he just said right there. So, well played, Rust.
I'll reach through that glass one of these days.
Well played, Jeff Rust. Mm. Thanks for joining us, whether you are listening on 1080 The Fan, the Odyssey app, 99.5 HD2, YouTube.com/1080AM The Fan. YouTube traveled with us, so did Twitch.tv/1080AM The Fan. Thank you for partying along with us on this Thursday afternoon where the NFL season gets underway. The Hall of Fame game coming up tonight, just under 4 hours away from the Bears and Texans, guys that will be cut playing in the Hall of Fame game.
Yeah, you're not wrong.
I mean, no starters or players of consequence are going to be playing in that game. But you know what? It'll be comforting to have
football. It's the summer league of football, where it's like,
dude,
here yes. put your game tape out there for whatever practice squad you're going to end up on,
yep.
And then we'll go from there.
Yeah, and nobody should be, like, thrilled to watch the Hall of Fame game.
I mean, there are people.
They're like, sickos. Just like, I mean, you love preseason basketball. You're
going
to be watching
I literally
Blazers.
Just flew to Las Vegas to watch Summer League.
Yeah, you're going to be watching the Blazers play some German team that we hope
Ratio
they beat.
From the BBL.
From the Bundesliga.
I'm going to then drive
league.
Up to Seattle to watch them play the Clippers.
In a Pokemon game. I don't know how that's going to work out.
You know that's the hardest sponsorship or the hardest deal to get in the world?
Pokemon?
Is Pokemon.
Why?
To get the rights for them to do anything is like one of the most exclusive.
Really?
Yeah.
That makes sense.
I was like,
they don't need anything. Well, they don't need you.
Oh, God,
because
no.
They've got my 7-year-old son. They got the market cornered with
Pokemon
cards.
Got all
cards.
Of those people with their fingers are wrapped around them. It's crazy. It's like one of the most protected things in the world when it comes to rights.
And isn't it one guy? Is it one guy who...
Like who came up with it? Yeah.
And like came up with all the characters and stuff? That'd be pretty awesome.
Yeah, there's like... I was one of those card collecting things that came up on social media a couple weeks ago. And apparently there's like a Pokemon collection that is like the most valued card collection now in the world.
Yeah. My son...
Like, how?
My son has asked me about like... Well, did you have Pokemon cards? And I was like, no, I missed that boat.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I was not, that was not in my window. Yeah, we had Pogs. And then I was like, here, let me show you these 8 boxes full of baseball cards and basketball cards I have in our garage.
Yeah.
You know, of players that you don't know.
No.
But you know what, son? They're of no value now.
Time
but
to learn.
You can retire for with them. You know, the retirement plan for you guys is going to be these cards eventually because at some point, they're going to start disappearing.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm just going to hold on to them.
Just keep holding on.
Just got to hold on to them. A big injury in the NFL. The Los Angeles Chargers announced today that Justin Herbert.
Yeah.
Justin Herbert.
You've got duck brain.
Has plantar fascia. And he's going to be in a boot. Das Boot for 2 weeks.
What's a bigger boot gate this summer? Dak Prescott being spotted in a boot in Cabo and all of Dallas having a collective freak out, or all of Los Angeles freaking out over Justin Herbert in a boot for 2 weeks?
I would say Los Angeles, because Dallas fans, you're probably not going to pay Dak.
He's not there for the long term. You're like, oh, God, no, this makes our season suck, too.
Look. Plantar fascia and plantar fasciitis.
They both suck so much.
That is something that it lingers.
Mm-hmm.
And
2 weeks is not going to fix it.
It's not just like gone. It is something that will linger with you for a while, and that is of concern. I mean, it would be more concerning if he was a corner or a wide receiver, but when one thing that Herbert uses, his mobility is a weapon for him. And it's not like a weapon like Lamar Jackson and his mobility. But
it's a weapon like Josh Allen.
Create the extra time, and then he could take off and run, and he can be a threat with his legs. And if that slows him down at all, now we have a big issue. The other issue there is you're going to throw Easton Stick in at quarterback with Ladd McConkey and DJ Chark as your two top targets? No, you're not feeling good about
that
at all.
It's super difficult for me to get behind a quarterback who's named after hockey equipment.
Yeah, Easton Stick.
Go grab your Easton Stick.
Yeah.
It's like, oh.
That could be an injury that looms large.
Hey, maybe this is the year where Harbaugh's like, all right, we're going to crash this thing into the side of the mountain because we're in trouble.
Is he going to collect offensive linemen like Infinity Stones?
Yes.
And he got Joe Alt this year.
Yeah.
He's already got Rashawn Slater, which they move over to the right side. Like, they're going to be...
Go get a monster tight end. Go get a monster tackle or a monster interior lineman.
You could do it.
I mean...
There's
not out of the realm of possibilities.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, but here's the thing is that this past year we saw a receiver group that was like 12 deep, and guys are going to be more ready-made to go and be successful in the NFL early at wide receiver anyway, just because of the nature of the beast. 7-on-7, the training aspect of what you're seeing from receiver play in NFL-style offenses. This receiver group coming up this year is not nearly as deep as what we saw last year's receiver crop.
As of right now, I am scrolling through, and I don't see a single wide receiver in the top 20.
Well, I think that may change, too, though.
As we get going,
As we get going, but it is not. You don't have a list of freaks all back to back to back to back. And so that
unless you want to call Travis Hunter a wide receiver, which probably
is in the
NFL.
I think he's a better wide receiver than he is a corner.
Yeah. And then after that, Tetero McMillan at Arizona.
You got Hunter, McMillan. Then you also have got, and look, Travis Hunter in L.A., if there's a coach that would love to have a guy to try and play spots both ways, it's Jim Harbaugh.
Mm-hmm.
But you also have guys like
Evan Stewart,
Emeka Igbunka at Ohio State. Evan Stewart could be that guy at Oregon and develop into that and be a first-round caliber. It's just not that surefire can't
miss.
This
isn't that class of wide receiver.
No, but there's obviously
there's going to be dudes.
But this we're getting way ahead of ourselves. It's only 2 weeks right now. Herbert should be able to play through it, and it won't be a big
it's the Hall of Fame game we're talking about, the 2025 NFL draft.
Football's
back, baby!
But this is the thing with the Chargers is that, look, you know where your division goes through, and it goes through Kansas City.
Yeah.
And that division outside of Kansas City, they're going through a lot of what the AFC East went through with the New England Patriots, is that when you have the dynasty there, everybody starts reaching on, all right, you always try to beat the best team in your division. That's how it has always been in the NFL. And all of a sudden you're taking a look around and going, all right, what are the expectations for the Chargers? This year it is, if you can't figure out that receiving core, it's going to be a long year, and you're going to be looking at, you know, 9 or 10 win season, because they are talented almost everywhere else except for receiver and running back, where you just don't have playmakers offensively in a playmakers league. And then the Raiders have a long way to go. They have a good defense. They have Davante Adams right now, but
sure.
You no longer have Josh Jacobs. You don't have a quarterback. They've got their concerns. Denver, that roster is just a long ways from winning, and they have a rookie quarterback mm-hmm. that will likely be starting in Bo Nix.
Yeah, I was just thinking, would Xavier Worthy be the number one wide receiver with the Chargers?
Yeah.
Probably.
No, McConkey would be.
You think so?
Yeah, because McConkey can get open no matter what. But like
he's used to playing small already.
He is fast, but he is a phenomenal route runner, and his spatial awareness underneath is incredible. Ladd McConkey is a good wide receiver. I don't know if he's like a number. He's not a number one wide receiver in the NFL right now. One, because we've never seen him play in the NFL, but two, he just isn't that guy right now. He isn't. He isn't a game breaker on the outside. Worthy can be a game breaker for you just because of the sheer speed at 4.2. And McConkey's 4.38 guy.
He's not slow. He's not out there, 4.6 chopping it up.
But there is a difference between 4.38 and 4.2, because there are other guys that run 4.38. Anybody else that runs as fast as Xavier Worthy, though?
No, when you run those combine records, it gets a little freaky.
Yeah. Yeah, little twitchy. And then there's this, too. The Vancouver Ford text line. As long as the Spanos family owns a team, they'll win nothing.
I mean, you're not wrong, probably.
I wholeheartedly agree with that.
You know, I mean, I want to believe more in the Chargers because the Harbaugh effect is a real thing. Like, I think he's a generational coach in the most successful vein we've ever seen.
No doubt about it.
Whether it's at Stanford or at Michigan or with the 49ers, it just doesn't seem to matter. He takes a team, no matter what they are and where they are, and turns them into a championship like that Stanford team was a team that was legitimately one of the best teams in the country. That Michigan team won a national title. That 49ers team is right there on the doorstep. I mean, to be that successful at every stop, that's not a circumstances thing. That's a creating your own circumstances type of thing. And that's what's insane.
The immediacy of their success, right? Because if you remember, the 49ers were an absolute disaster.
They were a dumpster fire before you got there.
They went from 6-10 with Mike Singletary and Jim Tomsula to 13-3, losing in the conference championship game year one, under Jim Harbaugh.
Pretty good.
He can turn it around, and he can do it very quickly. And I think that is something that you look at with Harbaugh and you say, all right, if you have the pieces, he can make something happen. He's a great chef, right? He has all the ingredients. He can make it happen. The one thing that I think, if you are a 49ers fan a Chargers fan, that is the scariest part about this, is the fact that you're sitting there going, here we go again with the injuries. Because every single year, they get ravaged by injuries, whether it's Keenan Allen, Mike Williams, Derwin James, Nick Bosa, Kenneth Murray. Like every single year, you have a rash of injuries, and it's starting with Justin Herbert in week one. Last year was Herbert, too, with the finger injury.
Yeah, that's right.
They happen early, and it derails them every single year. Now you're thinking, all right, maybe Harbaugh, new strength, and strength staff, new training staff, maybe that things are going to be nope.
Cures some of the ails, and then sometimes it's just, you know, you have players that have those issues, and with the wide receiver core, which is why I think they were willing to move on. It was because whether it was Mike Williams, whether it was Keenan Allen, they would just pick up Knox every single year, and it's not a knock on a player. It's just that some players just, they aren't bulletproof.
You think it's the curse of San Diego?
The curse of San Diego.
You leave San Diego and
yeah,
this happens?
Yeah, it could be, there for sure.
Is. All right, 503-864-6326. That is the Vancouver Four text line. Justin Herbert in a boot for 2 weeks. Everybody's holding their breath. That is a Chargers fan over that injury. Early in training camp. That dems the brakes, and that sucks. Coming up next, let's head down and talk a little Vegas, huh?
Let's do it.
We got the VP of Marketing for the Las Vegas Golden Knights, Stephanie Rogers, and Darlene Navarro, the VP of HR, set to join us here from PDXYZ in downtown Portland. This is Danny Dusty on The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Hey, fantasy football owners. Anybody can tell you what a good fantasy quarterback looks like, but it's the receivers that make or break your team. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive in the position that matters most, wide receivers. From the route trees to who plays better in man or zone, we provide the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome back to Danny and Dusty live at PDXYZ, an awesome event, networking, marketing, HR event here in downtown Portland. We talked with Ryan and Brad, who put on the event, and now we are lucky enough to have on two of the brain trust of the Las Vegas Golden Knights. That's what we're going to – that you guys are officially – brain trust now. We are joined now by Stephanie Rogers, VP of Marketing for the Golden Knights, and Darlene Navarro, who is the VP of HR for the Golden Knights. Thank you for joining us today.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
You know, first of all, I think in Vegas, the number one thing is that we look at an expansion franchise going to a place that is a city everybody in the country knows and everybody has been to. Most adults have been to Vegas. It's not like when the Sonics moved to Oklahoma City, everybody's like, nobody wants to go there. Vegas was one that you were the first there. And as the VP of marketing, Stephanie, I guess, like, what was the, from the ground and building up to where they are now, attacking, building a fan base in such a short order that is so passionate?
Yeah, well, I was not lucky enough to be there on day one, but have been lucky enough to see the fruits of all the labor from day one. And, you know, I think it's funny and it's ironic. You have a city that has been craving professional sports. We're the very first professional sports team, right? They're asking for it for decades. And then they get an ice hockey team in a city that's like regularly above 100 degrees for weeks and months on end, right? So so I think there was a mountain of doubt, to be honest with you. A lot of people were like, this is never going to work. If you look back at all the clips and everything else, it's like hockey in the desert. This is crazy. You know, it was just, a mountain of doubt is kind of how we refer to it. But our owner was very adamant, very persistent, and he wanted to provide the absolute best product possible for the locals. We're very proud of our relationship with the local fan base there in Vegas. Vegas is an incredible town. I mean, everybody knows the world-famous Strip, right? There's, you know, 40, 50 million tourists a year that come through there. But outside of that street, there is such a vibrant community. I mean, there's massive amounts of culture. It's a very diverse population. We got parks, we have arts, we have literally everything that you can imagine. So for us, it was really just ingratiating ourselves with the community by showing up and showing up consistently and like genuinely showing up, right? So we're not just writing a check to the charity. We're literally there, you know, helping out, doing whatever. We're not just inviting fans to the game. We're standing, our team president stands at the front doors and greets people as they walk in. Like, people know who we are. We're out there in the community, and I think that's been part of it. And, you know, we had that miraculous first year where we went all the way to the cup final, and so you have an entire city of people that don't know anything about the sport of hockey that instantly learn it. And the way I kind of describe it is that we kind of expedited that generational fandom, right? And so now it's really cool to see how that comes to life. I can't believe we're entering our eighth season here. So there's literally a whole set of children that have never known the city without professional sports, let alone not known it without hockey. So really special, really cool relationship that the brand has with the population there in Las Vegas and the fans and the community. And it's Darlene and I's job to make sure that we protect and cultivate that every day.
One of the weirder things I've seen in Las Vegas, it particularly as it pertains to the fan base, is two things as it pertains to marketing with the Knights, which you guys have crushed. I go down there every year for NBA Summer League, and every car that I get into has a Vegas Golden Knights personalized license plate. And in a city that is 110 degrees, people are wearing Golden Knights sweaters. How on earth did those two things become synonymous with Las Vegas?
Yeah, well, I'll talk about the sweaters, but I'll hand it to Darlene to talk about the license plates, because it's a really cool story there. It's something that our team president absolutely loves to talk to us about every day. Yeah, but the sweaters, they're so shiny and gold, right? They're meant to, like, exude Vegas, but they're hockey. They're the perfect combination of sport and Las Vegas. They're innovative. They're very first jerseys in professional sports, sweaters in professional sports that include that gold thread and that gold technology. So for us, like, our brand is very, very innovative. Our owner actually challenged us to be the most entertaining product on the Strip, which, I mean, talk about a high bar, right? Like, high expectations. So people just love wearing it because it's so synonymous with the fandom, and people wear it with pride. And yeah, I mean, it's so funny, like, on game days, non-game days, like you said, for Summer League, if anybody's going out, I mean, you're hard pressed to go a few blocks without seeing somebody in one of those sweaters, which is really cool.
And then you talk about the license plates.
Yeah, we talk about the license plates. I mean, that is tied to our foundation. So when we think about the Vegas Golden Knights, and that's how we're out in the community. So when those fans that don't want to wear their sweaters, they're representing right on their cars, and it goes right back into the community. So
now, Darlene, with the fan engagement, like the being the first ones there, that was huge, and just getting the locals on board. But what does community engagement look like when you know the fan base is so big now? Has the kind of mission changed in the way you navigate those roads of community engagement since the fan base has blown up and become so passionate to where, I mean, it's not like you don't have to work for it anymore, but it is almost like it's all come to you guys so quickly.
Yeah, it definitely has. You know, if you actually look at how much has gone back to the community, I think since its inception of our team, I think we have already put in like $10 million back into the community. It's a little bit easier now because the community is already behind us, and we also want to make sure that we're working with the players to see what's their passion too, about how they're going to actually go back. I think just like a few weeks ago, one of our players, Jack Eichel, I'm sure a lot of people know Jack Eichel, but he's actually one that's out on the ice, truly actually, you know, meeting with all of our future hockey players. So it's pretty awesome.
Now, how hard is it? Because you guys have a mission, and it's community and giving back to the community, but the charitable contributions from players, when you have players coming from all over the world, are you guys like multinational in the money that you give, that you're giving charitable contributions to, or is it more just Vegas centric?
Yeah, we really try to focus on the community in Vegas and Las Vegas DMA. Certainly we're willing to support any players if they have a special initiative that's close to their heart around the world. We are multinational for sure. Yeah. That's kind of the sport of hockey, but we try to pump as much of the money back into the community as possible. And, you know, one thing just to Darlene's point about the you know, the players, and they all have their own purpose and mission and charitable organizations. So Golden Knights, the Vegas Golden Knights, one of the things that it's based off of is the epitome of the warrior class. The knight is the epitome of the warrior class. It's all based around service, right? It's about protecting the unprotected, and it's about no ego and doing literally whatever it takes to support those around you that may need the help, may need the helping hand. And our owner really challenges us and encourages us to have a no ego approach. And we have this inscription in our jerseys that we'll talk about a little bit later too: always advance, never retreat. And that's the way we see everything that we do, not only fandom, not only on the ice, but certainly within the community as well.
What have kind of been the unique challenges and opportunities of being not only in Las Vegas, which has its own set of challenges, but being so successful out of the gate? Because the Knights have been, around the world, the most successful expansion franchise in professional sports. So that's a different bar and a different level that you kind of have to not deal with, but it does present its own unique circumstances.
Yeah, I think, you know, as a lifelong sports fan and experiencing many disappointments in my lifetime through my Iowa Hawkeyes, who I love dearly, the fan base is really new. And not that they didn't follow sports before, but the idea of disappointment or players getting traded or things like that is very new, right? And especially when you go back to that fandom and that community connection, like, people really do feel an ownership of our group, and we want that. Like, we absolutely want that, but it makes it a lot harder when, you know, when you don't qualify for the playoffs, or you early exit, or you have a bad stretch of games or something like that. It does get a little bit difficult. You trade a favorite player, which happens in every single franchise, right? And we're not, you know, immune to that. And so for us, it's continuing to educate, like, hey, we promise, like, we're trying to make the right decisions for the organization, for your fandom. But I think the newness of the fandom and the level of passion probably makes some of those moves sting a little bit more.
Being first was big for the Knights. Being the first in Vegas, but also being an expansion franchise, kind of led to people having that connection of, this is ours. What was it like, though, when you have the Raiders move into town, and then you're having the A's trying to move into town, and how does that affect kind of how you guys approach marketing in an area where it's now way more competitive over the last 3 or 4 years?
Yeah, I think the best way to think about it is, you know, we're really excited that Vegas has become a sports and entertainment capital of the world. We feel very proud of our part in that. But we have to stay focused on ourselves. Like, the second that you start looking sideways and start trying to keep up with the Joneses is the second that you really lose focus of your actual mission and your goal. And so for us, it's like never taking for granted the local fan base or the organizations or the companies that are in market that are already deep, you know, in our ecosystem or kind of within our business, if you will. And so, yeah, certainly that's competition. But, you know, I would argue that we're in one of the most competitive markets in the entire world anyways. And, you know, now there's more sports competition, but our environment is pretty unique. Our game day experience is pretty unique. And there's direct flights from Portland, so hopefully we'll see you guys there. So, you know, we're just focused on ourselves and continuing to keep that mentality of always advance and delivering the product that we know we can.
Darlene, a question for you specifically, because I HR in Las Vegas seems like that was
Sin City and HR. They don't really go together well.
As a Raiders fan, there's been some issues that have popped up there. What is it like? What are the challenges and opportunities of having to exist in that vein? Because the nightlife, the hours, the availability, the transgressions that are there for you are not quite as prevalent in a place perhaps like Portland. So what are the kind of things that you guys have to stay on top of maybe a little bit more than you would in other traditional smaller markets?
Oh, tricky question. I guess I'll be very careful about what I'm going to be sharing. But
you know, come on.
Yes, it as instantly as soon as you said that, it is definitely very difficult to kind of navigate that. But I think that's probably how I've how myself I've grown kind of in HR, right? Because I have to look at it through a different lens. Because, I mean, if you were to ask, you know, when I started in HR, I would have never thought that I would be drinking or having a mimosa just like how we were today, you know, or that type of stuff. And there's definitely like a lot that goes around, and you talked about it, like about the Raiders. I mean, those are the things that we want to make sure that doesn't happen, and that's why it's really, really important to have the right representation within the organization. So we drive that through our leadership. So,
you know, the population, everybody knows Vegas, but the population isn't huge in Las Vegas. A lot of people on the outside say oversaturation of sports might be something that is real in that town. What is the conversations that you guys have within the organization about, all right, is there going to be an oversaturation if too many teams start coming? Because it's not just the A's, but the NBA is talking about expansion, and they're like, yep, Vegas and Seattle, that's it. Is oversaturation a concern?
Oh, I definitely can say that. I guess like some internal conversations that we always seem to ask ourselves is like, how do we keep ourselves relevant? And I know that's probably more on the marketing side of things. I have to think about it from a people perspective, right? Because when we were like the first team, just trying to get people through the door, I mean, people were literally running through their door, banging on our door to actually work with our organization. Not saying that they're still not doing that. But now we have a whole lot of competition out there, especially if we're bringing out all of the other professional leagues out there. So I'll give it to Stephanie about the marketing perspective.
Yeah, I think oversaturation is a totally fair question, right? And I mean, it comes down to like what you want your product to be able to drive, right? I mean, the A's, Major League Baseball, they have 88 home games a season, right? Like, we have 40, you know, basketball, the Vegas Aces, like, they're world champions back-to-back. They sit an 18,000-seat arena. So, for sure, but I think our perspective is we're just going to assume that literally every single major sports you know, league and property and everything else is going to come into the city. We just have to assume that. We can't sit here and play the game of like, will they, won't they, are they going to, what's the year? We just have to assume it's going to happen. And again, like, stay focused on our own mission and to Darlene's point, stay relevant in all the ways that make a lot of sense. But like the Australian Rugby League, they had games this year. Their actual season had games this year at Allegiant Stadium. And there was like 50,000 people there that half of them flew in from outside, you know, from New Zealand and Australia and everywhere else. So that's going to continue to happen. There's going to be massive soccer matches there. There's going to be all sorts of other things there. And so our assumption is that it's going to happen, and we just got to stay focused on our own mission.
Is Las Vegas pushing for an outdoor classic anytime, or?
I think, keep me honest here on this one. I'm sure somebody will call in and correct me. I think they had an outdoor game in Vegas a long time ago. Yeah. Oh, in Reno. Okay. It does get cold.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah,
it does get cold in Vegas. Not quite probably cold enough for that, but it does get cold there.
Yeah, ice on the strip would be a hell of a thing.
Hey, look, they did F1. I mean, like, figure something out.
You could do it. I think being first with the oversaturation, being first is huge in that regard. And you guys have had that. The roots are down now in Las Vegas. It's been really cool to see. We really appreciate you guys taking the time to come here to Portland for PDXYZ and take a few minutes for us. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
There you are. Darlene Navarro, the VP of HR for the Las Vegas Golden Knights, and Stephanie Rogers, the VP of Marketing for the Knights as well. All right, we've got a lot that we still need to get to, but first we got Rust with SportsCenter.
It's time for today's worst day on the web with Danny and Dusty on Odyssey and 1080 The Fan.
Oh, really? That sucks.
It's that time of year where people will find ways to be irritated about the dumbest possible things. And
no way.
Well, on the Carton Show, Amani Toomer went off on Caleb Williams.
Ooh, the Carton Show, Craig Carton. Huh?
For telling his teammates to clean the locker room up.
He's Russell Wilson 2.0.
This is
not going to go over well.
Uh-oh.
If you came in the locker room, I've been in this locker room for 8 years, like you said. And you know, some rookie's going to come in who hasn't played one snap.
Right.
Talking, you know, we're wearing the fingernail polish. You know, now he's going to come in here and tell me? who've been here, who've been through the struggle, that I need to clean up? No, how about rookie? How about you clean up after me?
Right.
How about that? Don't give me this crap. I don't like it at all. I feel like rookies should earn their respect.
Sure.
Just because you got drafted number one doesn't mean nothing to me because I don't even know if you're good.
I mean,
wow.
Wow, first of all. Be seen, not heard is typically what you would expect of a rookie or and or new young person, really in any profession,
yeah.
But particularly in the NFL. But you're the number one overall pick and you're the quarterback. You're the most visible and important person in the NFL. I don't have an issue with him trying to set a precedent of, like, hey, like, let's be more professional.
Look, I think what the big thing here is that if you are genuine with what you are saying and what you are doing, then you will not be Russell Wilson. Where Russell Wilson...
It's all fake and contrived.
Where Russell Wilson went awry is that the guys in that locker room did not believe that's who he really is. And that's it right there. Is that there was a... In a locker room, you have got to be true to who you are, and you have to be relatable to those guys. You can be corny as hell, but if that's really who you are...
Yeah.
But we've seen even in the videos, the flip gets switched and Russ goes into back into Russell Wilson mode, right?
Yeah, the code switch stuff, you know.
You can't.
The Ciara video that's out there that's not a great look for him.
You can't do that. But if Caleb Williams lives it every day, then at that point, and he's genuine with what he is saying, then it resonates and then you have a message that is clear. Also, you can look at this team, though, and you can say, all right, well, then if it's not Caleb Williams from a leadership standpoint on that offense,
who is it?
Because it's not DeAndre Swift, who's new. It's not Keenan Allen, even though he's a vet, he's new. It's not Roma Dunze. You can look at really two guys in the offensive line has no room to really talk. Darnell Wright is a second-year pro at right tackle and is probably not going to garner that leadership role, but the offensive line was an absolute disaster last year.
Yeah, who's good enough?
You have to
be
good enough, and you have to be able to what you say carries weight. Is that DJ Moore? It might be. Is it Cole Kmet? Maybe. But if there is a vacuum of power of leadership, then the quarterback does assume that role, and it's not going to be any of the backups that anybody's looking to because it's Brett Rypien and Tyson Bagent. Nobody's going to be looking to those guys. So if there's a standard that is going to be set, and look, the general manager and the head coach, they go a long way with delegating that power and allowing that power to go to somebody else. Mm-hmm. If it has been handed over to Caleb Williams, then they have no choice, really. And I think that quote says more about Amani Toomer than it does Caleb Williams.
Yeah, and remember what Ryan Pace and the Bears did was they let Caleb Williams go out with Cole Kmet and DJ Moore. It's a part of the draft process. Like, they were trying to ingratiate him as a leader right out of the gate.
Well, they tried to figure out if he was going to be a fit there because there were those question marks of, you know, all right, is he going to be able to relate to our guys and our vets because he is the new age quarterback, right?
He's different.
Like Amani Toomer said, painting the nails and being on TikTok and Instagram and being so present on social media, that is new to a lot of those vets. And can a guy who's 21 come in and relate to 33-year-old veterans in the NFL? That's a question that every team has, though. And by all accounts, when he went out with Cole Kmet and DJ Moore, it went very well when they went out to dinner. So I think it says way more about who Amani Toomer is more than it says Caleb Williams. You can't sit there and say he's going the road of Russell Wilson because, look, everybody had to listen to Russell Wilson in Seattle because Pete Carroll gave him the reins to do it and protected him to a point that I don't think we've seen in a really long time. But when the shine wore off and he started getting more credit than the guys who were really pulling the weight, whether that was the defense or the offensive line when they had to make tough decisions, if you're going to pay Russell Wilson, you're not going to be able to pay guys like Max Unger, and they're going to have to go their separate ways, or Breno Giacomini. They had to say, no, we're choosing Russell Wilson over these other guys, and guess what? It didn't go as well when those pieces were gone. Now, they went to back-to-back Super Bowls, and then they had to pay Russ, and then people started checking Russ out tuning Russ out because the defensive players are like,
it can only last so long.
He's not the leader of this team. No. Right now, I don't see anybody on that Bears team that is going to be that leader on the offensive side of the football.
Yeah, and that's the thing, is when wherever that power vacuum exists, it's somebody's got to take it up, and it's just the guy that you just took number one overall that people have a significant amount of faith in, if he's going to come in and set some sort of standard, I don't see that as any kind of bad thing, which is interesting because this same general thing happened but in a different facet last year with Anthony Richardson. Do you remember the story about Anthony Richardson staying after and cleaning up? And
yeah.
It was like, this is so great, and this look at how much he cares about service and the little things. But now that it's Caleb Williams and he's saying, hey, guys, we need to clean this up.
Yep.
It's all of a sudden it's a different terrible thing because he paints his nails.
You know, if this is anybody, I would love to hear what guys like Tremaine Edmonds and Kevin Byard have to say about it. Guys that are vets.
Long-time vets, yeah.
Who've been guys that people will look to in that locker room on the defensive side. If they don't have a problem with it, then there's no issue here. But
maybe there's some dirty dudes in that locker room. There's some messy people.
I'll tell you what, though. If you've been in a locker room where dudes just, like, throw stuff on the ground, it is disgusting. Mm-hmm. Because you don't want to pick up. Like, they're just unrolling their tape and just throwing it on the ground. Nobody should have to pick that up.
No, police yourself.
Stinky human beings.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody should pick up after themselves, whether it's your locker room or your workplace. It's
look,
gross.
Man, you got your locker room attendants, but I know it's their job, but also, look, man, I'm in that Blazers locker room after every game, and
yeah.
you know what the players do? They put their own towels, they put their own dirty jerseys and shorts and everything and socks.
Throw it in the bin.
They throw it in the bin themselves. You don't make the attendants do that stuff.
Yep.
So if Caleb's saying, hey, guys, let's take care of this stuff.
Yep.
All right, we're actually going to keep it on Caleb Williams. He was asked in the post-practice interview what he's furthest away from as a rookie quarterback. And instead of saying, you know, something along the lines of the little things, he actually went into detail about what he's working on, what he's focusing on ahead of his first start in the NFL, which won't be tonight, but will be, in fact, next week. We'll get into that more here on Danny and Dusty, 1080 The Fan. We were just talking about Caleb Williams and his return, or I guess soon to be return to the field for the Chicago Bears. It will not happen tonight in tonight's Hall of Fame game. None of the starters are going to go for the Chicago Bears, and nobody of real consequence is going to go for the Houston Texans. But he was asked after practice the other day, he is the furthest from as a rookie quarterback and what he's still really working on.
Furthest away. It's a good question. I would say right now, working on my got me with that one. Stump me. I would say working on my blitz looks, my blitz and coverage looks, and feeling the, you know, the umbrella of the defense, and filling that out to adjust, you know, to adjust protection, to adjust. You know, whether it's a run, run into it, flip the protection, get to a quick game, get to a cover zero check. However the structure of it works out, just progressing. And a lot of that comes with seeing it, and reps. And so that's why also, you know, preseason and, you know, those things are so important.
I don't think there's anything there that's really earth-shattering, but it just the willingness to admit, like, hey, yeah, no, there are things that I need to go through. I do need to see reps. I do need to get real live action. I need to do more than just film. There is a transition from going from USC to the NFL. Like, there's an admitted sense of, like, honesty and a little bit of an ego check.
Well, this is it's awareness,
yeah.
Right? In that, going back to what we just talked about with Amani Toomer and what he said about mm-hmm. Caleb Williams, that clip right there tells me that he's not a guy who's walking into that locker room saying, I've already got it figured out.
Mm-hmm.
This is what I know, and that we're going to make this thing work. There's not a bravado about him that is off-putting, right? He's saying all of the right things, and by what you heard at USC, he was doing the right things. And there's mm-hmm. when you get to the NFL, there is humbling that comes with just getting to the NFL and getting to that level, because he has never seen defensive play like he has seen through training camp so far.
No.
And that is the nature of the beast when you get to the league, and to come out and say, no, yeah, there's obviously things I need to work on. How many times have we had guys, you know, that say, no, I'm mostly I just figuring it out, and he could have just said, yeah, there's some things I'm working on, but I'm just going to leave it at this.
Yeah.
To go into depth and say, no, the X, Y, and Z, I have an awareness of what I need to improve mm-hmm. upon, and we're going to move forward in that way. That piece of audio makes me feel kind of solidifies what I was
more
talking about with yeah. Imani Toomer, and that Imani Toomer and what he said says more about him as a teammate than it does about a guy like Caleb Williams here.
And look, it also, I don't know if it puts a bullseye on Caleb per se, but I think it does, again, that awareness, that understanding of like, some people might say like, oh, why would you put that out there? You know, like those are the things that you're struggling with right now. You know, you protect it at all costs. It's like the tape's not going to lie.
No.
Like if in the preseason, whatever look is becoming problematic, if you don't think a defensive coordinator is going to see that.
Anybody that criticizes that, they haven't been through it. I bet you there's a lot of guys in the NFL that hear that and are like, yeah, well.
Welcome to the club.
That's the life of playing in the NFL, man.
Yeah.
But at least he's not trying to hide it, sugarcoat it. Because and here's, we can do the Russell Wilson comparison again. Russell Wilson was everything is rosy, everything is great, everything is fine. He would acknowledge when there were things that were going against him. And I'm not going to say that Russell Wilson never has done that, because he absolutely has. Mm-hmm. But with Caleb Williams, he didn't make an excuse for anything.
No, there was no, well, I'm struggling with this because it was... No, I need to understand my run fits better. I need to understand my shells better. I understand my blitzes better, and when to change it, and when to audible into the run here. It's like
well, you mentioned the target on his back too.
Mm-hmm.
I think the target on his back is being the number one effing pick for the Chicago Bears, who have been desperate for a quarterback, and he could year one be the single season passing leader, and nobody would be surprised. If Caleb Williams does not become the single season passing leader in Bears history
in
year one, it will be a disappointment.
Mm-hmm.
Because he has weapons.
He
has Rome Odunze, DJ Moore, Keenan Allen, Cole Kmet, and they have never had a 4,000-yard passer in their franchise's history. Like, that bar is, in a 17-game season, is not very high, bud.
It's particularly for a prolific quarterback.
Yes.
It's not like, this isn't a, and look, I'm not trying to put him on this level. This is not Patrick Mahomes where you're like, hey, this guy's got something. Let's let him develop. You took Caleb Williams because he's looked at and has been as a prospect, a generational quarterback who you're going to give opportunity to.
That is 235 yards a game.
Yeah, I mean, even with injuries, probably be like a 285-plus yard a game passer.
In the NFL, you'll have 190-yard clunkers.
Yeah, especially in Chicago.
But you'll have 300-yard games sprinkled in there, too, and they offset each other. If he should average 235 yards a game next year,
bare minimum.
He should do that. And so the target is there, and it will always be there, because he was number one quarterback out of high school, number one draft pick out of college. The target exists with him. Mm-hmm. Don't run from it. And he's not. I'm liking more and more Caleb Williams. And just for reference, last year in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
10 quarterbacks threw for 4,000 yards. And 1, 2, 3, 4 of them did not play 17 games.
So.
It's doable, man.
Yeah, it should be on the list for him.
Yep.
Particularly with what they're working with right now. All right, coming up in hour number 3, Bo Nix making some improvements in the Denver Broncos camp. We'll get to that and more. Come here, Danny and Dusty, today the fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Hey, fantasy football owners, I'm Matt Harmon.
And what's cracking up, James Coe? Join us on Reception Perception as we dive deep into wide receivers, the position that will make or break your fantasy team.
Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.